something to do.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. I'm delighted to see those of you who are present in the sanctuary, and welcome to those of you who are tuning in a more remote fashion. We do have a few announcements. First of all, Monday from 12 to 1, food pantry over at St. Luke's Episcopal Church. On for this week are Karen Clausen and Jan Nelson. Tuesday, 10 o'clock, Bible study. Thursday at 2 p.m., we have bell choir practice. Today, we have the bell choir playing for the first time in quite a long time. And I have names here. I hope that they are in order. We have Lynette Durant, Michelle Lofgren, Bev Chapman, Bev Kennick, Wanda Meacham, Leslie Pearson, Marcia Goddard, Karen Clausen, Mona Pearson. Am I missing anyone?
Julie.
It is a delight to have the bell choir back with us. Again, the invitation is for anyone in the community. If you want to join bell choir, we would certainly welcome you. At this time, please listen attentively as the bell choir performs, "Oh, How I Love Jesus."
Thank you.
yourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Be Thou My Vision. It is hymn number 793. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Thank you.
light, shine in our hearts, eternal wisdom, scatter the darkness of our ignorance, eternal compassion, have mercy on us. Turn us to seek your face and enable us to reflect your goodness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
The first reading today is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, beginning with verse 7. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor. Together a great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by the brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Today we'll read Psalm 126 responsively. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream.
Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. And then he said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses of your name.
Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy.
Those who draw weeping, carrying his teeth, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves.
The second reading today is from the 7th chapter of Hebrews, beginning with verse 23. The former priests were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, and then for those of the people. This he did once for all, when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests those who are subject to weakness, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
According to Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory
to you, O Lord. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Do we have any children who want to come forward? Oh, good. Good, good, good. Yeah, you can just be right there. Oops. That's great. That lets the rest of you off the hook for once. Because usually, if I don't have kids, I make them all answer my questions. So good. We're getting a lot of feedback, probably because there are microphones back there, maybe. Wonderful. Okay, maybe you want to sit up here so that I can see you? And so that we can do the proper social distancing, right? Okay, what I would like would be for us to show everyone what this gospel message meant. Okay, so that means I need someone to be the blind man who shouts out to Jesus. Who wants to be a blind man? You want to be the blind? You can be the blind person. All right, so what you need to say is Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Try that.
Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Louder.
Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Wonderful. And you two, your job is to say, "Be quiet." All right, can you say that to her?
Be quiet.
Thank you. Thank you. And when Jesus says, "Come forward," then your job, maybe I should give this to someone else. Paul, I can give it to you. Then your job is to say, "Go forward. Jesus is calling you." All right, can you say that?
Go forward. Jesus is calling.
Wonderful. All right, so Jesus is walking along with his disciples. All right, he's walking from Jericho. Jericho is a big city. And so he's walking from Jericho, and outside the city is a beggar, right? You're the beggar. So Jesus is walking along, and what does the beggar say? What does Bartimaeus say?
"Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me."
And what do you say?
"Be quiet."
All right. And then you say what? Because Jesus is going to keep walking. What do you say?
I say it again.
Say it.
"Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me."
And what do you two say?
Be quiet.
And what do you say?
"Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me."
And what do you say?
Be quiet.
All right. And Jesus stops and says, "Call him forward." And then you say,
"Go forward. Jesus is calling."
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Because this is what happened, right?
Yeah.
You have Bartimaeus, who's sitting on the side of the road, no friends to help him out, no one who's going to take his hand and bring him up to Jesus, nothing. He's there, sitting with his cloak around him, stretched out, hoping that people will throw some coins in, and hears that it's Jesus and calls out to Jesus, right? And the crowd does what? Is the crowd really helpful to Jesus? No. What do they say? Right. That's exactly what they say. They're trying to keep him poor and beggar.
That's mean.
It does sound mean, doesn't it? It sounds really mean that they aren't saying, "Go up and let Jesus help you." Instead, they say,
"Be quiet."
Be quiet. Right. They don't, they're annoyed, whether it's because they know that Jesus is a great teacher and who is Bartimaeus to be calling to him? Or what other reason do you think can you think of that they don't want Jesus to even hear what Bartimaeus is saying? What do you think? Maybe they're just mean.
Yeah, maybe they just don't want him because if it was a big city, they probably had a lot of people.
That's right. They have a lot of people, and they probably have a lot of beggars. Maybe these are additional beggars. And what they hope is that Bartimaeus just be one of them. He just remain a beggar like them. That is not the right thing to do. You're absolutely right. What are we supposed to do?
What have you been hearing in Wednesday school?
To be a neighbor.
To be a neighbor. That's exactly what you've been hearing, is that we're supposed to be neighbors to each other. And what does being a neighbor mean in this situation?
It means to be helpful to everybody and anybody when they are in a situation they can't fix themselves.
Exactly right. That we are to help other people, especially when they're in situations when they cannot help themselves. So the crowd here is not being a neighbor at first, are they? And it's only when Jesus stops, he stops, and then says, call Bartimaeus forward, that the crowd all of a sudden changes and says what, Paul?
Go forward. Jesus is calling.
What's going on here? Why is it that all of a sudden the crowd changes its mind?
Because they don't want to get in trouble.
Oh, they don't want to get in trouble. That's a great answer. They don't want it. Now that Jesus has noticed him, They can't continue to say what?
Be quiet.
Thank you. They can no longer continue to say be quiet because now Jesus has noticed Bartimaeus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now they're all, oh yeah, we wanted you to go forward all along, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Do you know people who are like this? Yeah, unfortunately we all do. Is this the way we're supposed to be?
No.
No. How are we supposed to be again?
We're supposed to be a neighbor.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you very much. I appreciate your helping me with this story. Do all of you understand the story better now? Thank you. Thank you so much for helping me with the story. You can go back. Great job. That's exactly it. The whole idea that we talk about being a neighbor, and this definitely is not being a neighbor. Thank you so much. As we hear Bartimaeus calling out to Jesus, first of all, for what? For mercy. And Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus could have said any number of things. Well, give me some money so that I can buy food. And make me powerful, because you hear these people in this crowd. They want to keep me powerless. Give me some power. Instead, he says, my teacher, let me see again. And Jesus says, go, your faith has made you well. And immediately, Bartimaeus regains his sight and follows Jesus along the way. Here we hear about Bartimaeus' persistent faith. He has no companions to help him get Jesus' attention, unlike the blind man in Bethsaida that we encounter in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26, who has friends who bring him to Jesus. Bartimaeus is seated along the road, and the only thing he can do is call out repeatedly, just as you saw, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. We saw how the crowd, in an attempted to quiet him by saying, be quiet, right? But Bartimaeus shouted all the louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then we saw how the crowd changed its tone, saying, oh, take heart, get up, he's calling you. Bartimaeus jumped up. He threw off his cloak, and he came to Jesus. His desperation, undoubtedly born of years of rejection and humiliation, overcame the efforts of others to keep him blind and a beggar and powerless. His persistence is paralleled by Jesus' call. Jesus seeks out Bartimaeus. The insistence and the persistence of Bartimaeus and the summons by Jesus transforms the crowd, which becomes a conduit for Jesus' invitation. Probably unwillingly, but a conduit nonetheless. We hear Jesus say, your faith has made you well. That word sozo, translated as faith, can also mean save. Your faith has saved you. The physical cure of Bartimaeus is part of a more complete restoration, which is confirmed when Bartimaeus follows Jesus on the way after regaining his sight. Bartimaeus is an outsider. He's outside the walls of the great city of Jericho. He's outside the norms of society. He is outside the economic order. He is powerless to do anything but cry out to Jesus for mercy. He resembles the woman with the hemorrhage who touched the hem of Jesus' garment, another person on the outskirts of society with no one to help her reach Jesus, another person considered unclean because of her illness. Jesus tells them both the same thing: your faith has made you well. They are like other outsiders in Mark's gospel who are received and empowered by Jesus, including children. The powerless take a prominent place in God's new social order. Bartimaeus could be contrasted with others in Mark's gospel. Remember the rich man from a couple of weeks ago? He came to Jesus with a question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he stated that he had kept all the commandments from his youth. Jesus looked at him with love and said, you lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, give the money to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. And the rich man went away, shocked and grieving, for he had many possessions. Bartimaeus is shown as throwing aside his only possession, his cloak. A cloak is so important that it couldn't even be taken when someone had nothing else to give, because it was the only thing that preserved you in the cold night air. It was what a beggar would use to spread before him in order to gather the alms that people would throw. So Bartimaeus gives up his only possession to jump up and come to Jesus. And once he's healed, he does something that the rich man couldn't do. He follows Jesus. Bartimaeus can also be compared with James and John from last week's gospel. Jesus asked them the same question that he did Bartimaeus: what is it you want me to do for you? And they responded, well, grant me to sit one of us at your right hand and one of us at your left when you come into your glory. This was not a request that Jesus could grant. Bartimaeus does not ask for power or for riches or even for eternal life. All he asks is for mercy and then for sight. And Jesus grants him both. He's called out of his physical darkness. So who are the blind ones? And who has real sight? The insiders want guarantees of status in the coming kingdom. The outsider wants vision, which Jesus immediately grants. Those who think they see are blind, while the one who is physically blind has real sight. What do you want me to do for you? The question that Jesus asked Bartimaeus. What do you want Jesus to do for you? This is a question that must be answered by everyone who wants to follow Jesus. Think about it. What do you really want Jesus to do for you? What do you really want Jesus to do for you? What does our answer show? Our desire for power or for status? Or our deep longing for true sight? Consider that over the next week. Amen. Let's join together in our hymn of the day, Healer of Our Every Ill. It is number 612. knowing indeed that our God is one who heals our every ill. Let us now confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Set free from sin and death and nourished by the word of truth, we join in prayer for all of God's creation. Risen One, we give you thanks for congregations and ministries throughout the world that serve as centers of prayer and action. Empower missionaries, teachers, healers, evangelists, and all who are sent to share your song of joy. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Holy One, we give you thanks for generous land that produces abundant harvests. Strengthen and protect all soils, from rooftop gardens to prairie farmlands, to patio planters, to fertile valleys, and bless all who lovingly tend them. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Ruling One, we give you thanks for leaders of nations who work to build up the common good. Strengthen efforts of reconciliation among all nations, that peace extends in every direction. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Healing One, we give you thanks for all who labor for the health of others. Comfort and strengthen all who struggle with chronic pain. Send healing and relief to all who are sick. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Providing One, we give you thanks for all who provide for others. Inspire generosity in your people so that we carry out the work of making disciples of all nations. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Living One, we give you thanks for the saints who have increased our faith. Give us courage to follow in hope until you gather us all around your table of abundance. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. At this time, we lift to you those prayers that we name out loud or in the quietness of our hearts. For Dick and for Kathy. For Dave. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Confident that you hear us, O God, we boldly place our prayers into your hands. Through Jesus Christ, our truth and life. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us now share a sign of peace. If you're not comfortable with hugging or touching, you can do a peace, or you can do my favorite, the ASL, I love you. Love you all.
Thank you.
hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks to the praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join your unending hymns.
Body first.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God. You have refreshed us with the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us in this gift. In faith toward you, and in perfect love for one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please stand as you are able for the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Let us join together in our sending psalms. The Spirit sends us forth to serve.